This is Communion Sunday, but I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to do a communion meditation. And we've been involved in this series, Knowing God Through His Names. Now, I had planned a subsequent series to Knowing God Through His Names, and it was Knowing Jesus Through His Names. And that was going to come later, and it is. But what I'm going to do for these 3 weeks prior to Christmas, I'm going to move into the series Knowing Jesus Through His Names. And in particular, I'm only going to look at three of Jesus' names that are involved in the story of his birth. In the story of his birth. Three different names for Jesus involved in the story of his birth. After Christmas, we'll go back to knowing God through his names, and then we'll come back to knowing Jesus through his names. If that's confusing, it's just going to happen. We're just talking about God, amen, and Jesus, the Savior, and knowing him, how he has revealed himself in Scripture through his names. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I want to hear him speak this morning, don't you? Amen. Luke chapter 1, we're going to interrupt a story to read a few verses, and I'll tell a little more of the story as we proceed this morning. But we're going to begin at verse 76. And this is Dad addressing his child. This child is John the Baptist. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Back in verse 78, if we could return to verse 78, we have this name of Jesus and his nativity, the story of his birth. And it would be very instructive and inspirational if you would reread Luke chapter 1 and 2 in this Christmas season. But in Luke chapter 1, we have an extensive story that involves the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. And here is what the name is. It's given by Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. It's actually earlier in Isaiah the prophet. And here Zacharias gives Christ, yet unborn, still in his mother's womb. Zacharias, by the Holy Spirit, gives Christ this name. Here it is. Whereby the day spring. The day spring. This is not to be confused. Later, Peter calls Jesus the day star. It's not to be confused with that. This is Jesus, the day spring from on high. Now, that's exciting enough, but look what it says. The day spring from on high hath visited us. Aren't you glad he's come? Aren't you glad he's come amongst us? And so this morning, knowing Jesus through his name, the day spring. The day spring. Would you stretch forth a hand this way? Pray with me and for me. Lord, anoint me to speak your word. God, move in this place. Help us to bring glory to Christ. Holy Spirit, put the spotlight on Jesus this morning. Jesus, be made real in our hearts. Be made real in our minds. Jesus, may you be the centerpiece of everything that is said this morning. Lord, we are unashamed to confess our need of you, Christ, in a fresh way in this service. Be made known to us on our hearts in a fresh way. Thank you, Lord, our Savior, risen, Lord. In Jesus, in your name we ask. Amen. You can be seated. You know I keep politics, not morality, but politics out of the pulpit. For sake of illustration, I've made a statement recently. You know, following the presidential elections used to be fun. I mean, if you're inclined, it used to be fun. But I want to tell you, never has a presidential election been less fun and more frightening. And this is just my estimation, but leading the pack on one side, you have someone that's a liar telling the untruth about the death of soldiers and ambassador. And on the other side, leading the pack, you have a loose cannon. It's frightening. It's frightening. But the thing that makes it intensely more frightening is that all of this is at a time when it's never been darker in America. Never has. I want to tell you why we're having a problem. Because as the proverbist said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And whatever the name of the candidate, if there's no fear of the Lord, there's no true wisdom. And in our society, without the fear of the Lord, darkness has come upon the country. It's amazing, and the irony is, this is a time when men boast himself to be the most enlightened. Boasting himself to be the most enlightened, he lives in the greatest darkness that he's ever lived. You may find reason to disagree with me, but I think in every way, it's dark out. Morally, spiritually, financially, emotionally. Let me give you just a little rundown of a few articles in the last little bit that I've seen. The church is losing power in the South. Talking about southern United States. The Bible Beltway is no longer the Bible Beltway. Growing numbers of millennials are becoming atheists. And then added to just a sampling of headlines, we have the Supreme Court rulings legalizing the perversions that the Bible says are destructive to mankind. Amen. We have beyond that, even in a popular sense, by that I mean in the popular thinking, we have the greatest fascination with TV shows such as zombies and vampires. And let me tell you, anything with a zombie in it or a vampire or magic is not light. It's darkness. It's darkness. It comes from darkness. That's the origin. But people are mesmerized by those things. Even the perversions of sexuality are the themes of sitcoms. Even the darkness isn't necessarily that those things are on television. The darkness is that folks are consuming those things, have an interest of those things. How many knows the darkness upon our land? Amen. It's like a thick fog. I mean, we've had a lot of experience this week with the thick fog, but I want to tell you the darkness upon the land is as a thick fog. The darkness is so heavy, you can feel it. It sends a chill up your backbone and a coldness right down into the bones of your soul. Amen. I'm talking about a darkness upon our land. Amen. The lights have gone out on the party. Amen. 2 years ago, we had this middle room Christmas party at our house, and some of you'll remember. Amen. We'd eaten, we were sitting around. All of a sudden, the lights went out. The lights went out on the party. America's partying in the midst of terrorism, partying in the midst of destruction, partying, rejoicing in the streets by the acceptance and tolerance of perversion. They're partying, but I want to tell you, the lights have gone out on the party. Amen. If you feel depressed, don't leave yet. We've not got to his name. Oh, his name changes everything. Could I say in the concession of how dark it is, could I ask this question? Would you hear this question? Amen. Before you leave, could it not be in this darkest of times that the light will suddenly break forth upon us? How's that going to happen? Maybe it's going to be by revival and spiritual renewal, or maybe it's going to be at the coming of Jesus Christ. But could we not have the faith to believe in the midst of a dark time in which we live? Amen. We're this close to the light breaking forth upon us. We had that party and the lights went out, but thank God it wasn't too long. The lights came back on. I know it's dark, but I'm telling you, the lights are about to come on. How can you believe that? Amen. Amen. Because when he came the first time, the light sprang forth. The day sprang forth. And can I tell you, when he comes the second time, the day is going to spring forth. It's going to be the dawning of a brand new day. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the faith we have in Jesus Christ? Amen. It's dark today. There was another time. It was oh so dark for God's people. Amen. You can put your fingers between the testaments. It just happened. I opened up right there with no marker. But if you put your finger between the testaments, amen, that is a period of darkness. 400 years and no prophetic voice. 400 years of successively being conquered by one empire after the other. And God's people are enslaved and overtaxed and defeated and made servants. Now between here, the testaments, and before the nativity story of our Christ, amen, the people of God are under the iron heel of the Roman legions. They've been stomped upon by Rome itself. Not only that, they have a puppet king, a jealous puppet king named Herod, that's going about and killing anyone he thinks is a threat to ascend to his throne. It's a wicked time. Did you know that right before Jesus was born, the Romans took 2,000 of the Jews and crucified them along the road? I'm telling you, it's a dark time. They're not hearing from God. They're in bondage. Amen. There's wickedness on every hand, enslaving in every hand. Oh, but I'm telling you, the light is about to shine. Amen. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. Amen. It was dark, but the light came into the world. How did it all happen? Well, there's an old man, Zacharias, and his wife, an old wife, Elizabeth. They're way beyond child-rearing age. And that's an irony, because the scripture said they're righteous folks. They're godly folks. They should have been blessed with a child and all kinds of things. And yet they're childless. But it failed Zacharias Lot to fulfill his role as a priest that was allotted ever so many years. He meant to serve in the temple. He went into the holy place to make intercessions before God and to put incense upon the altar of incense. And there, as he stood in that holy place, there was somebody suddenly there. It's an angel of God. And the angel told old man Zacharias, "You're going to have a child." You don't think that's an amazing thing? You let an angel show up to some of you men that are in your 60s or 70s, and that angel tell you you're going to have a child. Amen. It'll cause a stir. It causes a stir for Zacharias, and he did not believe it. He said, "How could this be? We're past that age of having children." Amen. That angel went on to say, "Well, you will have a child, and that child will be a great prophet. That child will be the forerunner of the coming Messiah. That child will prepare the way of the Lord. That child will announce that the Messiah has come." Zacharias laughed in unbelief, and the angel struck him with muteness and said, "You'll not speak a word until it comes to pass." He came out of that holy place, and the people were already wondering why he had tarried so long. They thought maybe he had died in there. When he came out, it was even more weird. He couldn't even talk to him. Amen. 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 But sure enough, I'll have to skip a lot of the story. You read it. But sure enough, amen, the time of life later, and Elizabeth has a child according to the word of the Lord. 8 days after his birth, there is that celebration and a little ritual they perform. They invite families and friends. The house is full, and the neighbors and the friends and the family begin to walk over to that little baby and say, "Oh, Zacharias, you're so cute. Oh, Zacharias, what a lovely little." And the mama said, "No, his name's not Zacharias. His name is John." And friends and family said, John. Amen. There's nobody in your family named John. Amen. You can go back 14 generations. There's not a John. His mother said his name shall be called John. They turned to Zacharias. Every dad wants a kid named after him. I never could get Sandra to agree to name one of our boys Clifford. But every man likes to have a son named after him. Amen. So they turned to Zacharias. John, you're not going to name him John. Amen. Zacharias motioned for writing materials and utensils, and he wrote out, his name is John. And when he wrote that out, amen, the strings of his tongues was loosed, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit filled him, and he began to prophesy. He spoke to his son, that little baby, and he said, you are the prophet that's going to come before the great Messiah. You are the one that's going to announce that the Redeemer, the Deliverer has come. You're going to let them know this. Here it is. He said, you're going to let them know that God is merciful, and that the day spring hath visited them, and the people that sit in darkness are going to see a great light. Oh, hallelujah. What's so special about John the Baptist? He's the one with the message. He comes just a few steps and a few months in front of him, but he says, behind me. I'm talking about John preaching. He said, listen, you're sitting in darkness, but I'm going to tell you something. The day spring, it's almost here. The light has come. Oh, glory to God. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Oh, what a message John had. The day spring is come. What does day spring mean? It literally means a rising up, a springing up. Like the sun in the morning breaking forth over the dark horizon, spreading its rays into the darkened sky. And then the globe of the sun breaks over the visual horizon. Day spring means that which comes up over the horizon. Therefore, in other places in Scripture, the word is used for the east, because that is where it happens. It can be the darkest night, but if you'll look at the dark horizon to the east long enough, unless you live in Ohio and it's always cloudy, but if you look at the eastern horizon long enough, amen, as dark as that night may be, oh, suddenly there's a lightning, not the lightning, but it's getting lighter. There we go. It begins to get lighter. Oh, the sky begins to grow brighter, and suddenly it breaks forth over the horizon. They call that day has sprung. The day spring, the rising of the light. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. 400 years of darkness, but before the prophetic voice was closed, Malachi said, one of the last prophetic voice, he said, you're going to see the Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Oh, and now 400 years later, amen, the day spring has come. Amen. There's something here that's a little confusing. It says the day spring from on high. Amen. Day spring means the rising up, but it's from on high. How can that happen? If it's on high, how does it rise up? How does that happen? We experience it every day. Everybody here from all of time would say that the sun is above us. It's in the heavens above. This isn't time for science. It's time for the word of God. They're not contradictory. They just speak for a different purpose. Amen. Amen. We know the sun is above us, but every day we experience the sun that is above us. We experience seeing it coming up out of the darkness. I want you to know Jesus is from on high. He was above us. I said he was above us, but he became a babe. He became incarnate in the flesh. Men were sitting in darkness, but suddenly he that was on high began to come up the horizon of their darkness, and they saw the light. I said, they saw the light. Day spring has come. Amen. He has come up over the horizon. He came from on high, but he rose up out of obscurity. He came from on high, but he rose up from a dingy manger. He's from on high, but he came up from a poverty-stricken family. He's from on high, but he rose up from a backwaters town in a backwater country. Oh, hallelujah. I said, Jesus is the day spring, the light that has broken over the horizon. In other words, I could have said it earlier, but I'll say now, what is a day spring? It's a sun rising. Oh, hallelujah. I said, a day spring is a sunrise. It's a sunrise. More ways than one. No play on words, just reality. It's a S-U-N rising, and it's an S-O-N rising. Oh, the sun has risen. Could I tell you that everywhere Jesus walked, there was a sunrise? You don't believe me? Talk to blind Bartimaeus. He'd tell you, when Jesus came to my town, the sun rose. Oh, hallelujah. You don't believe me? Talk to that widow of Nain. Her boy, her only heir, her help, he's dead. Oh, but Jesus came by and said, get up off that funeral pile. Amen. Amen. You ask that widow of Nain. She'd tell you when Jesus came to her town, the sun rose. I'm telling you, we could go on and on. But what about you? Your life was in darkness. Darkness of sin and hopelessness and helplessness. But don't you remember when Jesus came into your life, the sun rose. Oh, hallelujah. I started to just ask some folks whenever they felt like it, just to jump up and sing. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Oh, come on. Anybody, were you there? Were you in darkness? How many knows when the day sprang? He is the day spring. The prophet Isaiah saw it. He said, arise, shine. Listen, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord, here it is, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I've got to tell somebody, as it was in history, it can be for you this morning. I don't care how dark your night is or what made it dark. Could I tell you, Jesus could be the day spring of your life and your mind and your heart. Oh, I wish somebody in darkness would realize it this morning. You don't have to exist in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness. There is a day spring, and when he comes, the light shines and the darkness departs. Glory to God. His name is day spring. Amen. I read it in the passage of Luke. I read it in Isaiah. It says in other places that the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. I never asked the question before, what were they doing sitting in darkness? Don't tell me you haven't been there. Walked in, a family member sitting in a dark room. You flip on the light and say, what are you doing sitting in the darkness? What were they doing sitting in darkness? I got to studying, and I think I found out what the picture the prophet had in mind. Back in that time, people, when they traveled, it was dangerous to travel. And there wasn't a lot of places on the journey, a lot of motels. Not even a lot of towns when you're walking. It takes a while to get from one town to the other. And so the picture is there's people on the journey. Amen. Something has held them up. They've not progressed as far as they wanted to. And now the sun's going down. Darkness is overtaking them. And they're not yet to a town or a house where there's light and shelter and food. The night overtakes them. And now they're stuck out in the wilderness, in the middle of the woods or the middle of the desert. They're stuck there. There's no light. They can't see the path to go on. There's no light. They can't see a way to go on. They don't know the direction to go, there's only one thing they can do, and that's sit down in the darkness and to wait for morning to come. They're lost. They don't know how to proceed. They don't know which way to go. Could I tell you, yes, that's true of all humanity, but it's true of so many people on their journey of life. They've come to a place, it's grown dark. They don't know how to proceed. They don't know the direction to turn to. They don't know how to go. Can you imagine they're sitting in the darkness waiting those long hours of the night? Amen. You know how long a night can be. Amen. If you got insomnia, you know how long a night can be sitting. No nightlight. No lights of the city on the horizon, just darkness and black, unprepared, no campfire, sitting in the dark. I'm telling you, every noise in the bush is a cause for concern. Every noise out there is a cause for fear and alarm, sitting in the dark. Oh, are we getting the picture? Oh, but he said, they that sit in darkness, suddenly they're going to see the day spring. Oh, hallelujah. Can you imagine those that spent the night, the long night in darkness? Can you imagine how their souls felt when the sun's rays begin to break over the horizon? Oh, hallelujah. The fears of the night are past. The alarm of the night is past. The discouragement of the night is past. The not knowing which way to go is over with, because the light has sprung forth. The day spring is here. I can tell you that's literal, but I can tell you spiritually, we were there. You were there. The darkness had overtaken. Taken the darkness of our life, the darkness of our sin, the darkness of the world. We were discouraged. We were depressed. We were in bondage. Amen. Where our hearts would feel. We didn't know which way to go. Oh, but thank God. Suddenly, the day spring was there. I said, suddenly, the fear of the night is gone. Not knowing the direction's gone. The light has sprung forth. Oh, hallelujah. Could you lift up your hand and call him day spring? Call him day spring. He's come to your... Oh, somebody ought to shout glory. Have you seen the light? Have you seen the light? Oh, you don't have to leave here in darkness. You can see the light. Therefore, Zechariah said, the day spring has come, verse 79, to give light to them that are sitting in darkness. One more thing, and I'll go on towards the close. This word not only means for light to spring up, but it also means for a branch. It's used in the Bible for a branch to spring up. It's not by accident. It's not just a double play of the word. Because the same prophet in the Bible that tells us the light's going to spring up uses the same word to say the branch and stem of David is going to spring up. In other words, from David's genealogy, from David's line, one of David's descendants is going to be the Messiah. Oh, that's on the human side. Glory to God. I said, that's on the human side. I want to tell you, that time we're celebrating when Mary conceived and had a child. Amen. The David side. Amen. That was the branch of David that had been promised 1,000 years previous. That was the branch of David coming out of the line of David. Oh, but putting the two ideas together, the one word day spring says the branch of David that has sprung forth is the light that has sprung forth. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Zechariah said, my son John is going to announce the day spring. Amen. No wonder his first words, I'm talking about John, his first words of his first message, he said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Oh, hallelujah. That's the message today. It's never changed. Jesus is light in the darkness. I wish somebody would say glory. Geographically, this world is more lit up than it's ever been. Have you ever seen one of those light maps? There's still some dark places, interior Africa, interior United States, way up north. But this earth, geographically, it's never been more lit up. They take the pictures from satellite. It's amazing how many lights are blazing in the nighttime. But at the same time, this world is so dark. After the terrorist attack in California this week, I've never heard such idiocy coming out of the mouths of people, blaming every other thing, every other idea, every other person, except those who perpetrated the terrorism. And because of that, somebody wrote on Facebook, "Why can't America see what's happening?" I'll tell you why America can't see what's happening. She's in the dark. Why don't our leaders see? I've heard that several times this week. I've had phone calls. Why doesn't our president see what's happening? Why don't others see what happened? I'll tell you why. Amen. They're in the dark. They're living in the dark. Amen. Now here's what scares me. Listen. Amen. Here's the worst thing about it. Darkness is external and darkness is internal. Darkness is around people and darkness is in people. Let me tell you, there's one thing worse than living in the dark. There's one thing worse than the darkness that is around you, and that is the darkness that is in you. Let me show you this real quickly. Three ideas from Scripture. Number one, you, me, anyone, you can be in darkness. And by the way, if you're not in Christ, you are in darkness. You can be in darkness. Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. This world is dark. You and I, we are in darkness. That's bad, but it can be worse. Secondly, the darkness can be in you. The darkness can be in you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness," how great is that darkness? It's bad for darkness to be around you. It's worse for darkness to be in you. And I said I wouldn't say a word, but I can't keep from it. Jesus said the worst darkness in you is not sin, it's hypocrisy. You're acting like you have the light. You're acting like you're a child of the light, but your heart's not right. If the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that? I said it's bad for have darkness around you. It's worse for darkness to be in you, sin and wickedness. But let me tell you, there's one worse thing. I said there's one worse thing, and that is you can be darkness. You can be darkness. Amen. You can have darkness around you. You can have darkness in you. And you can be darkness. Your very heart is evil. Your mind is evil and wicked and sinful and rebellious against God. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes dark. Not that you were in the darkness or the darkness in you, but ye were darkness. I want to tell you, there's something. Leave that verse right there. But there's something this world doesn't get. Amen. That liberal mindset that always finds an excuse, like who radicalized the terrorists, or it must have been in the genes, or it must have been an environmental thing. The reason they don't get it, they don't understand something. And that is, in our world, there is real evil. There are people who are dark inside. They've got dark minds, dark hearts, dark intents, dark desires. It's dark out there, and it's dark in there, and some people are dark. But let me tell you, look at the rest of the verse. Ye were darkness, but now are ye light. Whether the darkness is around you, whether the darkness is in you, whether you're darkness, the day spring can come. Oh, hallelujah. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness could not stop it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many remembers when the day spring came? I'll mention one more thing. Moving beyond sin and moral darkness, each here has had, is having, or will have your time of darkness, even serving the Lord. Now some, it's because sin in their life. It's dark, as Peter said, or excuse me, Paul said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, lest the day spring should shine unto them. Some folks, they're living in darkness because they've not come to Christ. They've allowed Satan to blind their eyes and understanding. They want to talk about hypocrisy in the church. They want to talk about this and that. But the whole reason they don't see the truth and accept it, they've allowed Satan to deceive and lie to them and blind their minds in their hearts. But sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's the people of God going through the night. Going through the night. The mystics in the Middle Ages, I forget which one, but they called this the night of the soul. Have you ever been trying to serve God and yet you had the night of the soul? Sickness, struggle, heartache, things happening in your family, unanswered questions. Have you ever went through the night of the soul? Have you, Brother Wilson, have you ever been through the night of the soul? Have you ever been through the night of the soul? Things got dark. Amen. A great trial. Amen. Maybe it's secret temptation. Maybe unrelenting fear and worry about what can't be changed. Maybe the future. The night of the soul. I want to tell somebody here this morning, you may be having the night of the soul, but He's still the day spring. And as dark as the night of your soul is, you can believe, and it will happen at some point. The day spring will rise over the dark horizon of your soul. You'll know it when it happens. Oh, that light will be so joyous. After the long night of the soul, oh, the light will be so wonderful. Amen. It's not just for those who are newly saved to sing, I saw the light. Been through a long trial. Nobody really knows. You kept it to yourself. Amen. The night of the soul. Amen. But He's still the day spring. Glory to God. I said, glory, this morning. I said, this morning. Are you hearing me? Amen. I said, this morning, somebody, in the night of your soul, you're going to see the day spring. Glory to God. Oh, there's so much I wanted to preach. I didn't preach. Amen. I just want to tell you just very simply, Jesus is the light of the world. Glory to God. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus later said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. Aren't you glad you don't have to live in darkness? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. For the God who commanded light to shine out darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen. I'm going to close this sermon. I've talked about the day spring at Jesus' birth. Light shined. It shined in Galilee. It shined in Judea. It shined throughout the Roman Empire. And it kept on shining to the year 2015. I've talked about His light, the light that He is at His first coming. But could I tell you as I close, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if He was the day spring at His first coming, will He not be the day spring at His second coming? There's only a little bit difference. At His first coming, amen, it was a growing light as His ministry expanded, as He healed more people, as He spoke more truth. It was a growing light like a sunrise coming up on the... But at His second coming, the light will be there. But the Scripture says it'll be like lightning. Still the day spring, but this time the light is coming, not like a slow appearing sunrise, but as a sudden lightning bolt. Matthew 24, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Oh, hallelujah. We weren't there when the day spring came the first time, but we may very well be alive and living when the day spring comes the second time. Glory to God. How many wants to see that light? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Is He the day spring of your life? I said, is he the day spring of your life? I'm sure I told you before, but one day, go ahead, music, come. One day I was in my office years ago, and a lady called me on the phone, and I knew her somewhat. Her life is so messed up with depression, suicidal thoughts, discouragement, and that all leads to being hooked on medications and this and that. And she called me up so broken, so hopeless, so much in despair. I wasn't there, but I could literally feel the darkness in the room she was in. And she mumbled out something, tell me how bad it was, how dark it was with her. I don't remember all she said. She was sobbing so much, I couldn't even make out the words. And after she went on for a little bit, I couldn't really understand her. I called her by name. I said, can I pray for you? And I knelt down in the chair in there in my office. And you say, well, you know, a pastor, he always knows what to pray and what to say. Well, maybe if you memorize prayers for a certain occasion and it's a rote thing, maybe so. But I want to tell you, there's many situations you can be a minister for years and you really don't know what to pray or what to say. And I began to try to pray, and all of a sudden I found myself saying nothing but this, oh God, let your light shine in her darkness. Oh God, let your light shine in her darkness. Oh God, let your light shine in her darkness. I don't know how many times I said that praying. I was weeping, she was weeping. And I can tell you she hadn't said anything yet, but I could tell you the moment. Oh, that light shined in that dark place, that dark room where she was at. Light shine, and suddenly something changed, and she had hope, she had help, she had strength. Why? Because it's simple. The light shined in her darkness. It changes everything when the light shines. You don't have to sit in darkness. You don't have to sit in fear and doubt and unbelief. You don't have to sit in dismay and hell, because if you let him, the day spring will come and shine in your darkness. Oh, it could happen right now. The light can shine. Oh, he is the day spring. We're celebrating Christmas. Amen. Zechariah said, the day spring has come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking to somebody. It is dark. And right now, I'm not talking about sin. We've already been there in the message. But I'm talking about it's a night of your soul. That's when a lot of folks quit. That's when a lot of folks give in to their despair. What difference does it make to serve God? That's when a lot of folks give up. You don't have to give up. You don't have to succumb to despair. You can believe that there is a day spring. Weeping may endure for the night, but the sun is rising in the morning. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes he is the day spring? Oh, won't you reach up to him right now? Some of you really need the light to shine in your situation right now. You need the light to shine in your mind and your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, praise him. Could I tell you one more thing? There's no night in heaven. I said there's no darkness in heaven, because the Lamb is the light. He's still the day spring in heaven. He don't break over the horizon in heaven. He shines all the time. Hallelujah. Straight upon the hearts and lives. Amen. Our servers are coming. Would you stand across this building for a moment? I want you just to praise him, the day spring. And if you need light in your life, would you reach up and say, Jesus, shine your light into my darkness. Would you, all over the building? And if you're in a time of darkness, come on, pray. Have faith in that prayer. Have belief. He is a day spring, so you can pray it. You can pray it. Jesus, shine your light. Oh, come on, church. Somebody needs help right now. I know we got communion, but somebody needs help right now. Maybe it is sin. Amen. Right now, you don't even need to come to this altar. You can if you wish. But right now, you need to lift up your hands or your heart and say, oh, God, I'm tired of the darkness. Would you not shine your light into my darkness? Will you not shine your light into my darkness? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his life life blood. say.